Facebook friends and our Facebook family. So thankful that we have this opportunity together one more time this side of heaven and worship the Lord. Let's start with prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the gift of this day, Lord. Make us more aware of you than ever before. Lord, you are in our lives. You're in the very midst of everything in our lives. And just make us aware of that, Father, as we trust you, Lord. Help us to trust you more. May we choose you. Tonight, Lord, I pray for your anointing. We recognize without you are nothing. And Lord, what a privilege it is that we can gather together in unison to worship you. We lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we're going old school. There's something called a church hymnal, right? You remember those? It's not going to be on the screen, so grab you a hymnal. I'm going to give you a page number, page 34. 34. Page 34. Does that bring back memories? Kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice. Leave with him your care and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. There is room for all who would his glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Cross. Jesus bid you come and drink from the fount of love. Bliss there awaits in that heavenly home for all the saved above. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. At the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup, trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Give the Lord a hand and thank him for his goodness. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. You can be seated.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. At the cross. I'm going to read out of 3 John. I'm going to start in verse 1. And I'm going to go to about 4. It says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in truth. And then in verse 4 it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. In truth. Father, we thank you. These words of encouragement to know, Father, that John spoke. That there's no greater joy. No greater joy than walking in truth, Father, knowing that we're walking in truth. Father, so we thank you, Lord. We lift up those tonight who struggle in various ways. Father, there is so many out there struggling. Lord, We ask for your blessings upon them. These are your children, and they're hearing things, and they're just having a difficult time. Comfort them, the Spirit of God, to bring that peace that passes all understanding, and let them know, Father, that you are God, the great I am. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the gathering tonight, the words that will be spoken, Father God. Your word brings us life and liberty, Father, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 35 in that hymnal. Blessed Assurance.
Amen. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Praise you, Lord. We praise you. Perfect
submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Now let's sing it and worship the Lord.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, God is so good. So good. Don't see any guests to recognize tonight. I just want to recognize all of you and all of you out there wherever Facebook is. So much about that I don't understand, but I know it's very real. It's kind of like COVID. I don't understand it all. I know it's real, okay? But we're so thankful for one of those. We're thankful for Facebook and how God can use that. And we want you to know, those of you that still just want to be here so much and can't yet, we miss you so much. But we know that God is with you, and continue to pray for all of us together in this body of Christ. Are there any celebrations? Anything to celebrate? Birthdays or anniversaries? All right. Page 256 in the hymnal. Page 256. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life. I was nothing before You found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined life. Died on Calvary, Your touch was what I long for. You have given life to me. Let's go back to heartaches. Heartaches, broken pieces. Died on Calvary, Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Such a sweet, sweet spirit of worship here. Thank you, Holy Father, for Your blessings. A song I haven't done in many, many years, and I hope that it blesses you. It's called Let Me Live.
Let Him always walk beside me. Let Him take my hand and guide me. Let me live in the light of His love, till I reach that great tomorrow where there'll be no pain or sorrow. Let me live in the light of His love. Oh, let me live. Let me live in the light His love can give, and let it shine like the sun up above. And let me feel every ray, every night, and every day. Oh, let me live in the light of His love. My soul is heavy laden, seems like all my dreams are fading. Let me live in the light of His love. For a heart that's filled with sadness, He can touch and fill it with gladness. Let me live in the light of His love. Oh, let me live. Let me live in the light. His love can give, and let it shine like the sun up above. And let me feel every ray, every night, and every day. Oh, let me live in the light of His love. And let me live in the light of His love.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, my brother. Church has been filled with a marvelous spirit of joy and worship tonight. We ought to give the Lord an applause for allowing us to be able to do that. Thank you for picking songs that we could have here out of the book tonight when we don't have our projector working this evening. And Jimmy, you have no idea what God does with you and how He uses you in the different places. I know that you don't understand it. Who really understands when they're being used by God? But He does that. And it's good to see all of y'all that are gathered here this evening and come out for church on a Wednesday night. We're still going to be in the book of Revelation tonight. Be looking at some things that are coming. Let's see, did the women have a meeting today? Was that supposed to be today? Did that turn out all right? Good. I didn't have a chance to be able to ask about that to find out whether that turned out well. I can't think of any other things that are happening in the very near future that need to be announced about tonight, so I'll kind of slow down and say, is there any announcement that I need to be making? That's good. That's very good. Let's get into the book of Revelation. We want to see why we're looking at the book of Revelation and why, if God will allow us on these Wednesday nights, to increase in our understanding and our seeing Jesus for all that He is. Whenever the book starts off, it says the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ. We've gone through chapter 1. We've gone through chapter 2, and in chapter 2 we saw the beginning of Jesus being revealed as the bridegroom of the church. Even the church itself, the bride, often forgets about the bridegroom. We know that Jesus tells a story about 10 virgins who are supposed to be having their lamps ready with oil so that they can be there whenever the bridegroom comes. 5 of them are wise. They have oil. They're waiting. They're ready to see the bridegroom come at that midnight hour to begin the celebration. They're waiting to be able to see the revealing of the bridegroom. 5 of them are not wise. And we want to ask ourselves the first question as we're looking into the third chapter tonight. That's where we'll be in verse 1. We'll be looking at the church at Sardis, S-A-R-D-I-S. And we'll be thinking about the bridegroom is coming. Are we prepared? Are we looking for the coming of the bridegroom? Are we excited? And when Jesus told the story about how that the bridegroom came, that He came with those that came with Him to rejoice, those men that came with Him, and 5 of them were left outside because they were not ready. And so we want to see, as He's come to the 4 churches before this, He came to the church of Ephesus, He came to the church of Smyrna, He came to the church of Pergamum, and He comes to the church of Thyatira. Now we're into the 5th of the 7 churches, and we want to see once again the bridegroom approaching His bride. And we want to be aware of the fact that whenever He's approaching His bride, He has great expectations. He's looking at His bride. He expects His bride to be everything that He wants His bride to be. He expects His bride to be decked out in all of her glory. Now, we don't have to worry about whether we're going to be decked out in all of our glory, because the Scriptures tell us that whenever He comes, that He will present us without spot and without wrinkle. We will be presented properly. We will have everything that we need because of Him, because of the bridegroom. Are you ready to meet the bridegroom and being dressed in all of His righteousness? We often forget, like the 5 foolish virgins, about the righteousness of Jesus. We get to living in a world that is not righteous, that is filled with darkness and with sin and with great destruction. And we forget about the righteousness of Jesus wanting to invade every dark spot. We have people that have ministered in the prison ministry. Two of them are here in this service tonight who've ministered in the prison ministry. And when we had prayer before, one of them was praying, "Oh God, please, the prisons are locked down where people cannot go in and minister. And it's been that way for almost a year now. What's happening with those people in there? Can your spirit reach in and draw out of some of your believers?" Because yes, there are believers behind bars. And draw out of them that flowing of the awareness of the bridegroom is coming. And being able to share that great joy with others that are in that place. And so we want to be able to see how that's going to be whenever the bridegroom is coming back. So tonight in Revelation chapter 1, the church at Sardis. We're beginning there. That can be the title for the message tonight. Next week it'll be the church at Philadelphia. Now then, I have not been approaching this from the way that a lot of Bible expositors, and I'm not an expositor, approach it. They like to be able to give you a timeline. That first church represents the first few hundred years of the church. I'm not approaching it from that. I'm wanting to approach it from the way I believe Revelation was written. Let's see Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be able to think what the church has gone through, the different ways that it was in the first few hundred years, the different way it was in the next few hundred years after that, the different ways that it was during the dark ages and when there was all the great things that happened there that were both terrible and wonderful. I'm not interested. I'm interested in us looking. Facebook family, Facebook friends, we're trying to get a glimpse of Jesus because Jesus is all that will make a difference in our lives, in our families, in our communities. Jesus will make the difference. We think that politics will make the difference. No, it won't. Politics can't change anything. Jesus can change everything. We want to see Jesus. And so now he's coming and speaking to the church at Sardis. And it says, "These things says he that has the seven spirits of God." Well, we first hear about these seven spirits of God when we were back in chapter 1, where it said, it talked about that out of that throne, and in chapter 4, where it talks about that out of the throne, there were seven spirits that came out of that. And we want to go and look at what these seven spirits are as we get into this. The message tonight is going to be shorter than what we're usually looking at, because we're only interested in seeing Jesus. So Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, starting with verse 2, is where we're wanting to go so we can find the seven spirits of God. Those of you who are taking notes, Facebook family, Facebook friends, maybe you might find a pen before I get too far into this. And for those that are here tonight, in Isaiah chapter 11, starting with verse 2, well, let's start with verse 1, and it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And this is a prophetic word about Jesus coming the first time. Whenever he came of the lineage of David, the son of Jesse. And so we see here that this is talking about the Messiah. And it talks about the sevenfold spirit that would be upon the Messiah. Now then, we know who the Messiah is. The Messiah is, since we're looking in Revelation, and this has to deal with the church, which is the bride. The Messiah is the bridegroom. And so we're looking at the fullness of the Spirit. Because when it talks about seven, the word seven always refers to the complete or the full deal. And so we see here that in verse 2 it says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him," upon the Messiah, upon the bridegroom. "The spirit of wisdom shall be upon him," the bridegroom. "The spirit of understanding shall be upon the bridegroom." "The spirit of counsel and might," shall be upon the bridegroom. "The spirit of knowledge and the spirit of the fear of the Lord." Those are the seven spirits. Each facet is being shown to us right here. If you'd like to have a good study, then let me know. I'll be glad to share with you a good study that would be about the seven spirits. But we want to know that it's because the fullness of the Spirit is upon Jesus. And as the bridegroom coming for the bride, and as the head of the church, if the fullness of the Spirit is upon him, every part of the church should know that that spirit flows off of the head and onto every part underneath it. And you can say, well, I've never experienced that in my life. Then it's time for you to start speaking to the one who is the master of the church and saying, all of the joys of the Spirit, I want to know what that is like to be under all of those joys. And so it says he has the seven spirits of God, and he has the seven stars of God. So we're seeing him here in all of his sovereignty, because when it comes to the church, the bridegroom is sovereign. And we see here that he's talking about the seven stars, or this would be all the messengers of the church, because it's complete messengers. And he says something really strange in this first verse, that he says, in every one of the churches, he says, I know your works. Every church, the bridegroom says to that church, I know your works. And tonight, Jesus knows the works of Liberty Baptist Church. And those of you that are on Facebook, you may be able to be with us because your church doesn't do Facebook and you're still in that time of being separated because of this great thing that we have of going among us that has got so many of us fearful. Jesus knows the works of every church. And we have to ask ourselves, are our works His works in us? Because our works are something if it's Jesus working them out. And so we see that here. So let's go back and to chapter 2 and in verse 2 of chapter 2 to Ephesus. It says here, I'll give you a chance so I can hear those pages go flip, 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 because we don't have the projector working tonight. I hope that you all brought your Bibles. If you didn't, there's a little Bible right there in front of you that you can use. I'm very thankful for the couple that gave us money some time in the past so that we could have a Bible in almost in every for every person that would be able to sit in the pews. And in verse 2 it says, I know your works. Verse 2 of chapter 2, I know your works. Ephesus, I know your works. Are they mine? And in chapter 2, verse 9, he says to the church of Smyrna, I know your works. Are they my works? Jesus says. And in verse 13 of chapter 2, he's speaking to Pergamum here, to Pergamos. He says, I know your works. Do you think maybe tonight that Jesus is speaking to every one of us as part of the church? We've been busy. Many churches are very busy today. And we've been busy. And in verse 19 of chapter 2 to Thyatira, he says, I know your works. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says to Sardis, I know your works. And then he talks about their reputation. Every church has a reputation. Every church has two reputations. One is among the communities or the places of this world, and that is one reputation, and the other reputation is the one that's before the throne of God. And so we see here that he's saying, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. And so that's a wonderful thing for this world to be able to say about us, that we are alive. If the world is saying that tonight. I don't know if how many places in the United States or how many places in the world tonight that people are bragging on a church and saying, that is an alive church. But what does heaven say about that church? And it says that right after, I know your works. Because if our works are His works, then we know that we are a church that is alive. But then he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, but you have a name that you are alive, you have a reputation that you're alive, but you are dead. Now you say, how do I know that there's a reputation in heaven? Well, let's talk about Job for a few seconds. There came a day when all the sons of God, which we know are the angels, somehow, after Satan had been cast out the first time, I think I know how he got back in. It was our sin that allowed him to get back into heaven. Isn't that a horrible thing, what we've done to God and to heaven, to allow Satan go back in before him? Aren't you glad that Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one? Have you ever heard that scripture? He came to destroy the works of the evil one. Many churches, they've got works. They're destroying the works of the evil one. We cannot destroy the works of the evil one. Only Jesus can do that. And so it says here that whenever Satan came before the throne of God, God called him over and he said, "Have you beheld, do you know my servant Job?" What's God doing? He's bragging. Job has a reputation with God. I want to think about it tonight, brothers and sisters, Facebook family, Facebook friends. Do you know that you have a reputation with God? God is letting the bridegroom here, the Son of God is letting Sardis know that they've got a reputation in this world, but their reputation is crumbling at the throne of God. Oh Lord, we want the church everywhere, especially here, to have a reputation with God so that God says, "Hey, they're meeting tonight. There's not many, but they're meeting. Come on. Come on over here. I want you to look down and behold them. I'm going to brag on them. I'm going to say some amazing things about them." And so God began to brag upon Job right there in that first chapter. Marvelous things. I wonder if Job thought there was marvelous things. Well, we understand that he was offering a lot of sacrifices. And the sacrifices he was offering was because he wasn't too sure that he was in that good a shape or that his family was in that good a shape. He was offering a lot of sacrifices to God. He wanted to make sure that their sins were covered. Aren't you glad we've got a perfect sacrifice tonight? This is the bridegroom who's claimed us for his own. And we're in a good shape before the throne of God. Now then, so he's saying here that you've got a reputation on earth, and that on earth they say that you're alive, but heaven is saying that you're not much. It says that you really are getting close to being totally dead. Verse 2 says, the bridegroom, speaking to the bride, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." And we need to say, "Oh Lord, help us. Help us to be able to be watchful and waiting." Because he's going to tell us here in a few minutes that he's going to come as a thief in the night. And does the church really expect Jesus to come? Are we looking for him to come? Are we looking for the bridegroom to come for the bride? Are we fearful for the bride and saying, "What are we going to do? We're not ready yet." We need to know that when he comes, we will be ready for when we see him face to face. We won't be like this anymore. We will be like he is. We will see him as he is, and we shall be like him. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect," complete. Your works are, I'm needing to do more in you than you have allowed me to do. Lord, I know it. I'm more than aware of the facts that I have not done and that I need to allow you to do more. Bring me to the place where you can do those things that you have that you want to do. Verse 3, he says, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you will not watch, I will come as a thief." Now, does this sound like a good coming on the part of Jesus? He's already told us in other places that he's going to come as a thief. But for the church, that should not be a fearful thing. But for this church, he's saying, you better be aware of the fact that if you're my bride, if you belong to me, that you better be prepared for me to do the things that are necessary to be done in your presence, or I will come as a thief. And most of us don't like to think about a thief coming in the middle of the night. I mean, I don't ever think my house was broken into in the middle of the night, but I've had my house broken into at least 3 times, and it was all during the daytime. I had one time a friend. I love that man. He's gone to heaven now. Long time ago. Used to be a very stout part of Liberty Baptist Church. And one time he had been in a relationship with a young woman, and he had had a difficult time being able to find somebody. He never thought he was worthy of anybody loving him. And she broke up with him one night, and he came to my house and scared the living daylights out of me. He was outside making the saddest noises, or the strangest noises I'd ever heard. I called the police because I thought, what in the world is that? There was my friend out there carrying on. I thought a thief, someone's trying to break in. Jesus wants us to know we better be ready for him. We better be calling upon him to do the works that he wants to do. Work in me. Bring something into my life. And so we see here that he says, I will come as a thief, and you shall not know the hour that I will come upon you. Oh, Jesus, I want to be expecting. I want to be expecting. You've got a work to do in my life. You've got a work to do in the church everywhere. I need to be looking at the church everywhere and say, oh, God, what are you going to do there? And be looking at the church where we are tonight and saying, oh, God, what are you going to do here? Verse 4 says, but you have a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments. Oh, let me tell you something. This would be like the bride waiting for the bridegroom to come. She would be telling her friends, have you heard anything? Do you know if he's coming or not? What can I do to make everything better than it already is? Lord, let us be that kind of bride that is speaking to one another and saying, what else can I do? How else can I prepare myself for the bridegroom, for the head of the church? They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What makes us worthy before the throne of God? It's not us. All of our righteousnesses are as what? Anybody want to tell me? Filthy rags. But when we stand before with him at the wedding feast, we're going to be clothed in his righteousness. We're going to be wearing white garments. Do we deserve it? No! Because it's all about us seeing this bridegroom coming for his bride. And so he says here, they shall be in white, for they are worthy. We're worthy because he is worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. How do I overcome? Because I'm looking for the bridegroom. I'm looking. I'm looking for him day and night. I go to bed at night looking for him. I get up in the morning and I'm looking for him. I live my day, and whenever I can stop doing whatever has got my attention, I start thinking, wow, is it time? What is he wanting to do in my life? What's he wanting to do in the church? And so he says, for the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, the book of life, I believe, and there's a lot of people that will disagree with me, so you just need to hear me out and let me say what I want to say. I think whenever the beginning came and Adam was there, that every person that was ever going to be, even all the little babies that have never totally come into the world here in America, every one of those names was written down in the book of life. Every one of them. Everybody that should ever live, every person that's here, every person you've ever known, their name was written down in the book of life. But if we come to the place where we say, I do not want to have a relationship with this God that can take care of sins, there'll come a day whenever it will be too late, and they will take a blotter and they will blot possibly my name or your name. I don't believe my name's ever going to be blotted out because I need Jesus. And so the name will be blotted out for that person that says, I do not want to have a relationship with the bridegroom. And so we want to see here, it says, I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Oh, I want to be a part of that group. That we'll have our names confessed before the Father and before the holy angels. And then the last thing that I want to get to today, this evening, is in verse 6 of chapter 3, where it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you know that he says that to every one of the churches? There's some of them that he has a lot of rough things to say to them. He's really rough to them. He tells them, what are you doing? To others, he's real tender with them. He says, don't you know what has happened? Don't you know how much I love you? But at the same time, to every one of them, he says, you need to know. You can have an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto you. What the seven spirits are saying unto you. What the total Spirit is saying unto you. You can say, well, I've never heard the Spirit say anything. Have you not heard the Word? Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit, and they are life. So we want to trust God that we're going to be able to hear him. If you've never been able to hear him before, Facebook family, you've tuned in tonight and you said, well, I'm just going to find out. Or Facebook friends, I'm just going to find out what's going on at that little church. Oh, I'm so thankful because the bridegroom's among us tonight.
where two or three are gathered together in his name, he said, I will be there with them. And so he's been speaking to us through all these words. We've heard him speaking tonight. He's been speaking to us and calling us his very own. He's been calling tenderly, just as he was calling tenderly to the church of Sardis. And you can say, well, he told them that they didn't have a good reputation in heaven. Well, if somebody knew how to change your reputation, knew how to change it, and they were willing to change your reputation, wouldn't you want them to come and speak to you and give you one more chance? Aren't you glad that we have a God who's always wanting to give the ones that belong to Him one more chance? Isn't that a marvelous thought? And so we see here that he says, he that has an ear. This all harkens back to the law that was given through Moses. When Moses said in Leviticus the 14th chapter, he talked about them coming and offering sacrifices. He says, when you come and you're offering a sacrifice, the priest needs to do something for every person. The priest needs to take and I'm not going to tell you the part about the oil. I'm only going to tell you about the blood. And he said the priest needs to come and take part of the blood of the sacrifice. And he needs to take part of that blood of that sacrifice. And he needs to take it and to mark the lobe of your right ear. Why would they want to do something like that? So that you'd be able to wear it around like I voted? Hey, I voted. I'm so proud that I voted. I'd much rather wear the mark of the blood. It says, I belong to the bridegroom. I belong to the one who wants to change my reputation. I belong to the one who wants to work his works in every person who comes to be a part of the body of Christ in any place. That would be one place they would do to the earlobe. They would put the blood on the earlobe so that that would tell you that because of the blood, if there was a reason that would keep you from hearing God, it's been taken care of. They would take the blood and they would mark it upon your thumb of your right hand. And the blood would be upon your thumb. Not a ring, just the blood. And that would let you know that if there's anything that would keep you from being able to be involved in the works of salvation, anything that would keep you from being involved, that the blood has made you acceptable for God to work His works in you. And then they would take it and they would mark it upon the big toe of your right foot. Don't ask me why they chose the right on all of those things. I don't understand. I think if you didn't have a lobe on your ear, they'd put it on your left one. I mean, they've got to be able to do that so they can mark you for being able to hear. I think if you didn't have a right hand, they'd put it on your left one. But it just says that's the way that it should be in Leviticus the 14th chapter, the 14th verse. And it says if you've got anything that would keep you from being able to walk with God, to walk from this world and into the next one where the bridegroom will claim his bride, if there's anything that would keep you from doing that you would find that God is going to take care of that which would keep you from being able to walk with him. So tonight, we've come to this few short verses and we've been able to see a little bit more about Jesus. Aren't you glad that this is what Revelation is all about? When we get into those hard to be able to understand passages later on, remember, it's all about seeing Jesus. Every time we come together, Facebook family, Facebook friends, continue to watch in on Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, we'll be in the church from Philadelphia. 2 weeks from tonight will be our second Wednesday night in March. And we would love for you all to tune in if you would like to join us in the blood covenant. It's because of our bridegroom. It's because of Jesus that we get to enjoy all the benefits and all the glories that God gives because of the blood covenant. But we're going to be looking into till we finish the churches, and then from there, we're going to be aware of the fact that something happens to the church. And it's not spoken about in Revelation until the bridegroom begins to deal, till Jesus begins to deal with all of this world. There's great delusion coming upon this world. I'm sure that y'all have felt it some. The evil is being called right, and right is being called evil, and the world is being forced by that great delusion. And we have the power to resist it and to hold it back a little bit longer. Not because of us. That's the works of God to be worked in us. Because we are seeing Jesus claim us for his joy and his victory. And so, Brother Jimmy, I appreciate you coming and taking us to the throne of God with such joy to start everything off this evening. People are blessed wherever you are, and you're doing that. If you'd come and take us to the throne of God in some song. I see you got your guitar all taken up there. And so tonight, do you know that every one of the churches, he says to them, he that has an ear, he that has an ear, he that has an ear, that's three. He that has an ear, that's four. He that has an ear, that's five. He that has an ear, that's six. He that has an ear, that's seven. Everybody in the church should have an ear to hear. To hear God speaking tenderly. To hear God speaking, I'm telling you, your reputation's not quite what it should be. I know your works. Are they my works, my children? Or are they your works? And all we have to do is ask him, Lord, we've been bought for a reason. We're no longer our own. We've been bought that you might work your works in us. Is this not a wonderful thing? Being able to come together for reading and just thinking about these things tonight. Facebook family, may you all be thrilled that the fact that one of these days soon, I'm believing God's going to have to do something the church needs to assemble. And Facebook friends, oh, I'm praying that you'll be able to find a church. And that you'll be able to get in a church where you'll be able to hear the word and you'll be able to get a clearer vision of Jesus. We don't want to change Jesus. We don't want to present him in a new way. We're just going to take the word and we're going to see him in all of his glory. Let's all stand. If you need Jesus, come and accept him tonight. If tonight you just want to say, I am going to let the word open my eyes, my ears, and my heart. Then let's do that this evening as Jimmy takes us to the throne of God.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
With me in prayer, Jesus is calling softly and tenderly tonight. He's desperate to bring you into a better place because he loves his church. Too much, every part of it. Father, we come before you tonight. There are hearts that are being pulled. Some of them are Facebook friends. Some of them are Facebook family. All of them that are here tonight, one way or the other, the Spirit is pulling us to the throne of God and into things that we never thought we would ever be a part of. Now is our opportunity. Please, save us from not making a choice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.